Three, two, one. Oh, that's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
That's delicious. Mm-hmm. That's a summer beer.
Holy summer smokes. Sipper all day long.
That's a summer beer, and I like that.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. 5%. I'll see you in the bushes. Those are great.
Wow. What a beer. Ah, dude. Cheers to you.
Cheers, Owen.
Cheers, Owen.
Yeah, dude.
Welcome to Here Here. Owen part two.
You're sipping on about, what is it, 215 pounds of prickly pear, about 40 pounds of lime puree, and then just the 5% ale underneath it. It's fucking delicious.
That is awesome. How much prep did you have to do? How much pear did you have to handle?
What's nice about that is, like, there's two or three, like, fruit companies who do all the prep work for that. Because in reality, like, and when you're doing that into beer, you can make your own puree at home and all that stuff, but you're going to have, if you don't pasteurize it and make it aseptic, you're going to get a bunch of potentials for infections when you put it into the beer. So when you get these guys out of Oregon, and there's another one called, like, Aseptic Fruits, they do all the prep work. So I pop the top off of a bag and I pour it into the bright tank and let it ride.
That's odd. It reminds me of like a shandy. What would you compare it to?
I mean, a shandy, you're looking at like a lager that's got a little bit of like lemon or lime flavor into it.
Yeah.
A Radler, which is the German version.
Yeah,
is
drink several of those.
Actually a lager with a little bit of like lemonade or Sprite mixed into it, so it actually brings the ABV down. So a shandy you'd see at like 4.5-5%,
right?
Whereas a Radler, traditionally, you're going to look at like 3,
right?
2.5, and those things. I mean, talk about a hangover cure. Get that greasy cheeseburger into you. Oh yeah,
yeah,
all day long. Yeah. But no, I think for something like this, it's with the fruit. It's not as sour as you might think it is for a kettle sour, but still damn delicious.
Mm-hmm. It's very delicious. I really enjoy this. I mean, it's like you said, it's not like that really like mouth crenching like sour, like as you usually taste in like a Gosa or whatever. But man, I could sit on my porch and drink these for a while.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But so this one was actually done in collaboration with my buddy Vinny up at Valcor Brewing. He's in Plattsburgh, New York. So that was actually one of my first head brewing jobs was in Peru, New York, like 10 minutes down the road from them. And so that's how I met him. And his sours are unreal.
Mm.
I think one of my favorites I've had had from him is his Mimosa Sour. He does it with like mango and orange juice.
Wow.
And a little bit of vanilla bean.
Wow.
And when he's given me some cans, he's like, dude, roll the can before you pour it out into a glass, and you roll it, and all of a sudden your glass is just laced with all this fruit and little specks of vanilla. Oh,
Oh my God.
So good.
When you're tasting different beers, you know, with your friends or whatever, is there a certain that, I'm assuming you have like a better palate than most of us. So are you like tasting different parts, like what are you looking for in like a good tasting beer?
I don't think I have a better palate.
I mean definitely better than mine, I can tell you that.
I think everyone has their own palate, right? So
yeah.
But for me, I look for certain aspects. So like, is it clean? Are there any like off notes that are undesirable?
Okay.
Like, you know, when you have like, think a common one is everyone's had a Rolling Rock, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, Rolling Rock is known for, is it diacetyl? Just off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure it's diacetyl. It's going to be like a little bit buttery.
Mm.
And okay. So like that's an off note traditionally. But for so many years, people got used to that in Rolling Rock. So Rolling Rock got rid of it. and people are just like, what the hell's going on?
Uh-huh.
This is not the Rolling Rock I grew up drinking. So they turned around and they were just like, we have to undo what we did. We have to have this fault in it. And they went back to having a little bit of diacetyl in it. But like stuff like that, like, especially because the more I progress into this field, the more I'm drinking lagers, the more I'm drinking like a dark beer, like a porter. And so I'm looking for cleaner and cleaner beers.
Mm.
That's just the way my palate has grown since I started brewing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I made this joke with Evan earlier. I was like, the farmer says, like, never cry over spilled milk. Is there a saying with brewing? There, like, well, that didn't quite turn out the way I was hoping for.
Oh yeah, dude. I was 20 before alcohol abuse. Dude. Yeah. No, you wouldn't believe how much abuse we do as brewers.
Yeah.
Dude, stuff hits the deck all the time. You know, if a beer's bad, a beer's bad.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't want people to taste a bad beer that has your name on it.
Mm.
So, obviously it's my job to do the very best I can to make sure that that doesn't happen. But hey,
right.
Shit happens. And, you know, you got to take the measures you need to protect the brand, but also, you know, put out the best product you can. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of that,
I mean, I have done it. I've dumped, I think I've been a head brewer since 2021. I don't know. I lost track.
Nice.
Numbers are hard.
Yeah.
So
much beer.
I think in that time I've dumped two batches.
Oh, so damn. That's a pretty good.
Two,
yeah.
Maybe three off the top of my. It's two or three. So that's.
That's a pretty good.
But that's like maybe. That's somewhere between 14 and 21 barrels.
Yeah.
And a barrel is two half kegs. They're like what you would assume a big keg is,
mm-hmm.
times two is one. Is one barrel, so that'd be, I guess, in layman's terms, 42 kegs.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Shit happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
When do you know when you fucked up the brew?
Sometimes you can just smell it, man.
Really?
Like, sometimes, like.
Oh, that's got to be the most disappointing. Right? You're like.
Dude, you have no idea.
Yeah, you just, like, step back for a second. You're like, wait a minute.
Especially when you're trying to do something new and different and you're trying to push the limit a little bit. And you're just like, that's
not
it.
That was not it.
That's not it. No, it does stink because when you're trying something new and different, like, you're excited about it.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, you're just like. First, you're just, like, annoyed, and then you're just like, what the hell did I do wrong? And then in my head, I'm going back through the process of, like,
oh, I did every
that,
step.
I did this. Yeah. I did that. I go back to my water chemistry. I look at that. And then I'm just like, what did I miss on this path? And sometimes it's something I haven't come across yet. Like, that kind of malt does this if you put it into this, like, process. And I was like, fuck. So, you know, some like always learning, always evolving and trying to get better. So,
yeah. How heavy do you document? I mean, you must keep a pretty good documentation of it. Like, do you have like an exact recipe for each beer?
Yeah. So I have my recipes that I have for each beer. And then I have a brew sheet that documents lot numbers and all that stuff, but also tracks like, hey, how long did it take me from going from the mash tun to the kettle?
Mm.
Did I get a stuck mash? Like all these things that I take.
What is that? Like you didn't have
like a stuck mash. Like all of a sudden, like the grain bed almost becomes glue and doesn't let the water go into the kettle without bringing like, cause the grain just sticks together.
Oh,
so like I'm keeping notes like that to make sure what's going on. Like,
yeah.
I actually almost had one the other day. I was like, I haven't had one of these in a while. And I was like, maybe next time I'll get a little rice hulls to help with this.
Where did you come up with what was the prickly pear? Where did that come from?
So this is actually my buddy Vinny up at Valcor Brewing. Like I said, his sours are incredible. And I'd hit him up because... honestly, I had never done kettle sours before, personally. I've done these sours with GMO yeast that, like, it produces lactic acid to make it a sour. Basically, the first half of fermentation produces lactic acid to make it sour, and the second half makes alcohol. So this is a different way of doing that. It's a little bit more involved process. So I hit him up. I was like, hey, I want to try and do it this way. You want to come down to for a collab? He's like, yeah. He's like, I've actually been looking at prickly pears. So I was like, all right, well, let's do it. And we kind of went back and forth, and this is what we settled on. So just working on it that way. So,
dude, it's so freaking good. I'm like three quarters of the way through already.
Me too.
I'll be having these in the fridge all summer. Thank you very much.
We only have so many. So this is our first
limited edition. Yeah, so limited edition.
He got half the batch. I got half the batch. But I was talking to him today or yesterday. He actually came down and picked up his half. I'm probably going to try and do this recipe again.
You know, absolutely.
Just because it's
dude.
Spectacular. But the only thing is the prickly pear is a limited season. So
oh, sure.
So I think what I'll probably end up doing is having 3 to 4 recipes that I just try to rotate through. But always, I think this is delicious.
Oh, this is something. So. I mean, that's so good that it would be something you would look forward to every summer.
100%.
If it, you know what I mean? It's like on a rotation where it's like, oh, it's summertime. Oh, they're bringing, like, you know, prickly pear is going to be back. You know, like, Owen's going to bring back one of his
specialties.
Ones. Yeah.
I had the same thing with, I think Founders did a Green Zebra. It's like a watermelon beer, and it hits every summer, and it just hits the summer energy that you just like want to have. And this is right up there with it for me. It's like that's what you want to taste. Like, it's summertime, the sun's out, I'm sitting on the deck or on the porch, and you're just enjoying just the sun. Like, that's what it reminds me of, is just summertime. That's what I love about it.
The one in college I remember is Heller High Watermelon. I think it's 21st Amendment out in San Francisco. It was just a wheat beer with watermelon. It was delicious.
Oh, this sounds good.
Not as sour, but just so tasty.
Yeah. What was it that made you go with sour? Why would you go with a sour on this one? Like, versus we were talking about, like, a Radler or a Shandy as a lager. Just flavor profile?
Honestly, I'd never done a sour before. Like, I've done a sour beers before, but not with this kettle sour method.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to try
it. Oh, it works incredibly
but
well. Yeah.
I think with the margarita, because, I mean, I prefer tequila
as
for my liquor. So I've had margaritas. But the sour kind of plays in with that. With the
absolutely.
Lime.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the fruit just plays so nicely.
But it's so funny when you drink something and you're like, it all makes, all of the flavors make sense together. But it's like, who came up with that, right? It's like, you don't think about it because you did all the legwork on the backside of it, like putting that together. It's so good.
What someone was telling me, they were just out west, is that prickly pear margs out there have been killing it. And it's not something, especially down like the southwest, they're all over the place, but you don't really see it. Because you really don't see prickly pear that much out here.
No.
Like, ever.
No.
I honestly, like, I don't think I'd heard of prickly pear until a couple months ago, personally. So, this is the first time I'm tasting it. So,
Are these going to be available, or are these...
We have these available in the tap room. I'm looking at select accounts to try and put it to, just because we only have...
Yeah, limited, so limited edition, yeah.
I think in the grand total,
so
we have like...
You heard it here.
Cases.
If you want some of that prickly pear, you got to get it straight from the king.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we only have so much, so... but turning around, I probably won't do this sour right away. I'll probably turn around and try and do a different flavor profile and just build it up. And see how that goes, but yeah.
Yeah. No, that's so good. That's so good. How did you, what led to you guys submitting the porter for the, what was that, New York State?
New York State Craft Beer Competition. When you're doing those, when you're trying to look at what you want to enter for competitions, at least the way I look at it is what tastes good. And I think at that time in the tasting room, the porter was just
crushing.
It was was the best beer in the tap room, easily. I mean, people were probably drinking the Pilsner more or the Blonde more or Mountain King IPA. But if you're looking at like the quality of the beer, that was the best.
Mm.
It was the porter.
Yeah.
That recipe is bulletproof. It's just a good beer.
It's like a great beer.
There's some small tweaks you can probably make to the recipe, but it's just a solid, solid beer.
Is that a recipe you came up with on your own?
So it's actually a recipe that I've bumped into people in the industry, and like it just got shared to me, and then I've made my tweaks to it.
Yeah.
I've changed the water profile on it. I'm using a different hop profile as well. Not that hops really play a big role in the porter. But because it's mainly you're relying on like really high quality grains, because it's a malty beverage. So
yeah,
high quality grain, specific water profile I'm using, and then going from there. I feel like some people think that like a recipe, if you brew a recipe, like that's our recipe, that's it. Yeah. I come at it a different direction. That recipe, you could brew it and you could brew it and I could brew it on the same water but different systems, we would come up with three completely different beers. So I don't want to say it comes down to the person, but like there's a little bit of like what system you're on, what water on you're on, what water you're using, the brewer really determines what the beer is. And that's what I think, but, you know,
yeah.
Who knows?
Well, hey, proof is in the pudding. You got an award on the wall, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 100%.
That's a good one. So you get, the water up here is like some of the best water. Does that make a difference? Like,
so the water's actually pretty good. Obviously, being up here,
yeah,
we know that sometimes we get bad water on the weekends with the sulfur, but we have a filter that clears that out really nicely, gives us really neutral water. The only thing that happens with my filter is I get a little bit more sodium than you might have in your tap water. Not a ton more, but enough where it plays with my water chemistry a little bit. But, and then from there, I just tweak it where I need to. So,
how often are you testing the water just to like understand the profile of it?
Quarterly.
Quarterly?
Yeah. So once a quarter.
Wow.
And it's just, I send it off to,
yeah, is it like a specific person? Nebraska.
There's a lab that's like, they turn it around in no time.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's like $20, $25, something like that. They do it really quick.
Still, so what are you looking out for? Like what kind of stuff are you looking out for? That like hard, like minerals and stuff like that? Like what stuff that would change the flavor of it?
I'm looking at like, there's like a basic 8 minerals that you're looking at for brewing. You can go deeper into it, but I'm not a water chemist. I'm way out of my depth. I shared a meme with some brewer friends. This is like when you talk to a brewer who actually understands water chemistry, and you're like, ooh. I'm one of those guys. Ooh. You're looking at like, I'm looking at like 8 basic minerals, calcium, sodium, magnesium, chloride, iron, sulfate is another one.
Yeah. So you would it be like a refiltration or adding stuff to it, or how would you moderate?
I add salts to it. So basically I have my baseline water and then I add gypsum and calcium chloride as needed and a little bit of like phosphoric or lactic acid to get to the pH level I like. There's other salt you can add. You can add baking soda. You can add table salt. Like there's other salts you can add, and that's just you tweaking your water to wherever you want. Trying to get to, if I want to have pills and water from like the Czech Republic, or if I want water from London or Dublin.
Oh,
you know,
damn! You go city specific.
Yeah. So I
you're like, hey, compare my water to London's water, please.
I can get pretty close, but like, there's all the like. At the end of the day, like I'm not building off like a RO water, which RO water is just, it's just clean H2O. Yeah. So I'm building. So I have some limitations to what I can do, but
yeah,
honestly, it's the water is good up here. So
yeah, the Batavia Kill's right behind. If you need to go out with a couple five gallon pails,
buckets,
and you're good to go. Fill it up. You know, Evan and I can come help you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, carry pails of water from the creek. Well, don't they say, I mean, they say that about New York City with pizza, right? That's what they think.
Because of the water,
because
right?
of the water.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's what they say.
I had never thought of that with beer, that you would tune the water in.
Someone told me a story about how there's a place in Colorado that ships water from New York City.
I heard that.
Over there just so they can make the New York City style pizza.
Yeah, dude, that's bonkers. that dude has too much money.
Yeah, for real.
Please give me your money.
All the beers you make, do you look for different water levels for each beer? Or do you try and look like for one level beer or level water for each beer? Is it?
Yeah. So every beer has different water profile.
Okay.
Mainly because each beer has a different grain profile. So like the grain plays into the profile of the beer.
Okay.
So the water that the Burnt Knob Porter has is different because it has different grains going into it. That plays a factor into what the mash water is, as opposed to what Mountain King IPA or Batavia Pilsner, because those grains are imparting different minerals into the water. So I paid this dude out of, I think, Brussels. I paid him, I paid him $15 on PayPal. A little bit sketchy.
Yeah.
He sent me this incredible Excel spreadsheet, and that's what I use. It's fantastic.
No way.
Like I type in the weight of each grain, the color that each grain produces in water, and then I put in my water profile that I get from that laboratory in Nebraska, and it spits out numbers to me, and I can play around with it. It's incredible.
That's holy insane.
Cow. Best $15 I ever
spent. Yo, for
that's
real.
Amazing.
It's insane. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here just like, water. Water's cool.
Looks clear.
Yeah. Clean. I drank it. It's fine.
Drank it. Yeah, right. Let's go.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, no taste again. I have a very refined palate.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm done with mine.
Are you? Should we open up the porter next?
Rip the porter.
Yeah. Let's rip the porter. We got to see what this award's about, you know? I don't think I've had the porter from you guys yet, so.
Great slide.
It's like you've been practicing.
That prickly pear is so good.
Yeah, I need to. I'm gonna go.
We're
to
gonna
the
need
tap
that.
House.
Might become the. That might become the here summer drink of choice.
Yeah, come grill with us. Prickly pear.
Yep. Keep that one in the fridge for sure.
Yeah.
I wish you guys had a cup.
Well, I'm not rushing you guys through those. So
I wish you guys had a cup just to see that the color is incredible. It's just like.
Do we have anything?
It's like magenta.
Let me look around.
If you guys keep talking. We'll see. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean,
have a look around for a cup.
But yeah, no, the color looks so freaking cool.
That's unreal.
It's not like pink. It's not purple. It's like that sort of like in between. Is magenta that? I don't know. I'm not good with color names.
Yeah, me either. Magenta. We'll go with magenta. Yeah,
magenta sounds good, right?
Magenta sounds great.
I don't know if this cup is clean. But
I don't think it matters. I think you're still going to, whatever you pour in there,
just to give it a look.
For the non-video audience,
dude.
It is a coffee cup that is not clear, so you cannot see the color.
We're going to have to look at it from top down.
Yep. All right, we're going to have to wait.
For the foam?
For the foam.
You know what?
It was a good try. It was a good try.
We really went for it there.
Yeah. So we'll know when Owen's made it when he starts importing waters for his beers. He goes,
from Brussels
and
London.
Yeah, he goes,
by the
oh, no,
tanker.
This one's actually made with London water.
That's right.
You can tell.
You can smell. Yeah.
Right out of the thyme.
Yeah. Got a little gross, yeah, sure. Adds to the flavor profile.
Yeah, this tastes like it's from Holland. This is not Brussels.
So all of that driving around, have you actually gotten to enjoy being up here, or has it just been like work?
I've gotten my moments of just enjoying myself, you know, but it has been over the winter time with us opening. And trying to keep up with everything going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there was... It was
take a look at that.
I
I don't know what color to call that. We're gonna have to circle back on that
I'm
one.
I'm sticking with magenta.
Yeah, I think we'll go with magenta.
Yeah, we're fine with magenta.
Yeah.
It's like a rose.
Three men just agreed on a color.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's magenta. Yeah. Close enough.
No.
Well, you already got one of the best drives from going from Wyndham to Hunter is one of the best, like.
Well, last summer, I stumbled across, what's that road that goes from Hunter to Saugerties over to Woodstock that they close in the wintertime?
Yeah.
I can never.
Platte Clove Road.
Platte Clove, yeah.
Yeah.
That drive.
Amazing.
Is awesome. And the only thing I can think of when I'm doing it is this is what the Notch Road in Vermont is. Smuggler's Notch, they closed that down in the wintertime just because literally no one can drive through it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's.
Is it as steep?
Oh, yeah. You're driving up Mount Mansfield, and then so you're going on Stowe from one side. You're driving up and over the Notch, and coming down. You're driving past the Stowe Ski Resort, and then on the other side, driving past Smuggler's Notch into Jeffersonville. Every year in the summertime, like there's all these signs like your GPS is wrong for all like the FedEx truck drivers and all those things. Like,
do not use this road.
And you wouldn't believe it's like 10 times a summer. It takes two tow trucks on either, like a tow truck on this side and a tow truck on the other side to get them out of there. It's incredible.
Do they get stuck? Do they like crash or get stuck in a corner?
They just get stuck.
Oh my God.
And I was there one time when they got stuck and it's like, bro, how the fuck did you get here? Like, because some of those turns, because I drive a Prius and I'm just like, and I love doing that. He's like, it's great. And you're just like, how did an 18-wheel semi get up here? Yeah. Like how did you
get so far along and not be like, I don't like this. I'm like,
yeah, you're like, just like, really, boss, I don't think this is right. It's insane.
Right.
It's insane. And also all the flashing signs, like you're wrong.
So a full tractor trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Full. Okay.
Like the 52 footer or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah. 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 I could imagine that on Platte Clove, like going
just
down.
Fucked.
So a friend and I went and walked that hillside that goes down to the, I don't even know what the name of
that little ravine.
Yeah. What the name of the creek there is, but there are cars that crashed like back in the 80s, 100%. like Tokyo Drift. There's a Toyota Corolla, right? The AE86 early ones, so far off the road, just like way deep down the bank up against a tree. Like, you know, it was some young kid just ripping up that road
and sent it.
You'll see around one of the corners, there's a crankshaft out of an engine set in the concrete. There's one, like, if you stop there, you can look down. There's cars that entire road.
I think I know the spot you're talking about, where, like, they have, like, the concrete barriers.
The hard corner?
The hard corner.
Dude, there's like, a race car down there that's full setup, roll cage and everything, that just must have pinned it through that corner and went, like, there's still roll cage. There's still a lot of, like, race car stuff in it. The motor's gone. The wheels are gone. Like, all you know. So, you know, some kid crashed his cool car down there and then was like, fuck, I have to pull this thing out piece by piece.
And, like, and then gave up.
Yeah. And then it was like, well, there's the rest of it. That's fine.
We got the bulk of it.
Yeah. Right.
The earth will take the rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Platte Hill Creek.
Oh, Platte Hill. There you go.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Platte Clove Road, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Oh, man. All right. We're getting into the award winning.
Yeah.
Porter.
Oh yeah, what a sound. New York State Craft Beer Competition silver medal winner. Man, that's tasty.
Oh yeah,
that is very tasty.
Who doesn't love a dark beer in the middle of the heat?
Yep.
All day long.
Wow,
I could drink that for breakfast. I won't, but
so
I could.
That's the one thing that, like, I think it's when people come in and they don't know what to drink, I'll always ask them, like, hey, do you drink coffee?
Yeah.
And so, like, if you like coffee, this is, like, the next step. Like, I don't like beer. It's like, do you drink coffee? Yeah, well, you're going to get dark coffee notes in this. You're going to get some chocolate, a little bit of caramel.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, you're right there.
Yep.
But, yeah, this beer really, like, it's a pretty basic beer. It's a pretty basic recipe, but, man, it just tastes
hits,
great.
Dude. It yeah. hits. And your point, I like the point you made earlier about just, like, a clean beer.
Yeah.
That there's nothing, there's no... The flavor profile is there, and then it's just smooth,
easy drinking,
easy to drink. Yeah, it leaves you going, I will have more.
Yeah.
Just don't overthink it.
Did you read the top of the can? There's a bear that lives behind our house on Cave Mountain. Our daughter calls him the Mountain King, and that is who he is.
Boom.
That's so that makes sense. That's where the logo came from, was from that bear. I'm assuming Bob wrote that.
Yeah, that's all. That's Bob and his daughters up there.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then we got some trail signage. I just got to figure out exactly where that's from. Batavia, the lean-to, Black Dome Trail.
So if you look on the back of the label, we have, that should be the county map on the backside with like the town lines and the rivers.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Dude, wow. That's awesome.
Wow, the little like hidden things of like a beer label, like that's what excites me in life.
Yeah. So we were
That's not even a joke, but it's real.
Got Hentaville right there. Yeah, I got Hentaville right next to the bear's ear, dude.
So we our first like three or four labels were just straight color with the bear on there, and Bob and I kind of went back and forth, but like, we need more texture on it.
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
I mean, you can't just do different colors. And so this is kind of our first attempt to diversify kind of what the labels look like, but give it more character, give it more texture.
Yep.
More life to the can. And then, I mean, you turn around and you look at the Prickly Pear label. I mean, there's a cactus on there, you know?
Yeah.
There's like, if you look at the fine detail, like, you get that kind of like, the speckle of the pink all over the label as well. So,
oh, dude.
Yeah, the guy that does our labels is incredible. He does a really good job.
Yeah, I like it.
Little country western.
Yeah, it's like skyline Joshua on Tree in the mountains.
That's fire. That's so good. That the map is behind on the porter is awesome. Let me see if I can find my house. Hold on. No, my house is...
We'll put a little star there on the next one.
Yeah. appreciate that.
Yeah, gotcha.
Appreciate that. I think I'm behind the... I think I'd be behind the king.
Left or right ear?
So I would be... Well, looker's right. Which bear's ear? From the bear's perspective or from my perspective?
I'll leave that up to you.
Yeah. Oh, you get to decide. Then.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'll be right back. I got it.
The trail maps are fire, too. That's so good.
Yeah, and then we also added the mountains and the trees on the bottom. Just to give it, like, I mean, obviously, like, there's no peaks like that in Catskill.
Yeah.
But, you know. The texture looks nice.
All right, so aesthetic. Well, you know what? We'll have to, on the next one. So one of the most classic mountain profiles is Blackhead, Black Dome, Thomas Cole, and that's a pretty simple. That'd be a pretty simple one to put in there. Well, I'll get you a picture from Acre Point. Acre Point gets the whole mountain profile, mm-hmm. and you get a couple of trees in it. That would be awesome.
The only reason we went with Burnt Knob is because, well, so like, I think initially we were looking at using all the rivers and all the mountains of Catskills like names,
mm-hmm.
but you turn around, literally every brewery's already thought of that. Like you go to Westkill, they got Westkill. Black Dome Stout or something like that. You look at,
Well, Westkill.
Westkill right there.
The brewery.
I think Catskill Brewing has like Cave Mountain IPA. I'm pretty sure they do. I might be mistaken about that. But so like we got Batavia Pils.
Yeah.
So like we like stuff like that. We got the burnt knob because burnt knob's right there. But like then at a certain point you gotta like diversify it. No matter what you do.
It's like take all of the names of all of the things in the Catskills. Yeah. Like, all right, we'll come up with our own. We'll come up with prickly pear. Mm-hmm. No, but burnt knob is a good name for a porter, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what's funny about that competition was all the guys I became friendly with up in the Plattsburgh area, we all entered the same category for porter. So, and we didn't realize it until we were sitting down at the table for the award ceremony. So I got a buddy, Jesse, who's Oval Brewing in Plattsburgh.
Shout out to the Jessies.
Got Vinny at Valcor Brewing, who we did the collab with for the Prickly Pear. And then Dan Badger at O'Sable Brewing, he did one. And then myself, so that's what? Counting's hard. Did I just count four or five?
There was someone else
that did another one. I can't remember. But we're all sitting at the table. And we all realized kind of at the same time we all entered the same style. And what was funny was we were hoping, like, someone got bronze and that threw it all off because, like, what it'd be hilarious if we all swept it. If our table here swept the category. So some random guy got bronze. I can't remember off the top of my head. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out whoever that
Shout
is.
Shout out my man. Yeah. And then
third place.
I got silver, or we got silver, and my buddy Dan snuck out gold, and it was just funny because I crashed at Dan's hotel room. He's like, "Dude, I got a bed," because we won, and I was like, "Well, we got a drink." 4 a.m. in the morning, I'm stumbling into the hotel room. Jesus, words, crashing into his spare bed in his hotel room. I was like, "I'll see you in the morning."
He's like, "Yeah, that's right, second place."
That's exactly how that conversation went. Yeah,
that's right. You got the smaller bed for silver.
Yeah. Yes, that's with Dan 100% of that conversation.
You know what second place is? First loser.
Yep.
Is there anything, every time you call him, there's a little, hey, silver place is calling. Yeah. Second place.
Silver bells.
What's up,
is your
loser?
Is your ringtone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So when you are trying to create new beers or whatever, like, is there a process you go through? Like step by step, like, do you like, all right, I want to build a porter out. Like, where do you begin?
So
steal Dan's recipe.
Dan's recipe. No. I like, there's always ideas bouncing around my head. Okay. Like right now, actually, to give you a little bit of a concept, is like Vinny and I, in the middle of us making this beer, the Prickly Pear Sour, we were just chit-chatting, like just waiting for something. I can't remember what we were doing. We were chit-chatting, waiting for something to be done. And we were talking about how would we barrel age this? Because if you haven't seen the brewery, I have no space.
No, you don't have the space for that.
It's tight. So,
yeah.
Yep.
We came up with this idea that I'm trying to do actually with the Prickly Pear is I'm barrel aging it in homebrew kegs. With barrel aged wood and all this stuff. So like I'm trying to see how it goes. I'm excited to see what happens because I took the wood, I soaked it in tequila, añejo tequila. I found a really nice like quality tequila. Soaked it in that, and then dropped that wood into the keg, then filled it with fresh, uncarbonated prickly pear. So hopefully in about a month's time, that will be in a bottle.
That'd be sick.
There's only going to be like 30 to 35 of those.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, 29?
We sign up?
Yeah. Is there a waiting list?
But my initial thought is, as soon as we were done that conversation and I decided to do that, my next thought was, oh, well, let's make the Porter Imperial and let's barrel age that. So, like, it was just, like,
ooh,
the thought of just doing that just clicked. So, like, sometimes, like, sometimes, yes, I'll sit down and I will look at inspiration from the brewery. Sometimes I'll just be like, what do I want to try and make? What do I want to try and drink? But other times it's just spur of the moment. It was like, oh, I can do that. Then what's another cool way I could use that? So what's another cool way that I could try and barrel age with this technique that makes sense? So yeah, I'm hoping it probably won't be anytime soon ish, but probably in the next like 2 to 3 months, I'll try to make the Burnt Knob Imperial. I'll make a 8 to 9% version of it.
Wow.
And then find a really nice, hopefully Catskill bourbon or New York State bourbon.
Oh yeah.
To age it on, and then put that into bottles.
What's the distillery over outside of Hudson?
So my understanding is there's Cooper's Daughter.
Yes, that's Cooper's Daughter. Cooper's Daughter. Okay. Cooper's Daughter is very good too.
And then I know about Hill Rock, which I think is out that way as well.
Okay.
I mean, there's Hudson Bourbon or Hudson Whiskey Bourbon or something like that. They're down there, down that way somewhere. I think they're by Poughkeepsie, but I kind of want to go and get a couple bottles and like taste it, see what I like.
Yeah.
See what other people like. If we can find a great one that's from New York, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'd
prefer. And Cooper's Daughter is close too.
But if we can't find one that we really like, then was like, okay, let's find just a bourbon we like and go down that route. But obviously would love to keep it more local and support like a local business, let them know what we're doing. See if we can't get some cross promotion on it.
You got like Albany Distillery too.
Yeah, Albany Distillery.
My other question, I'm an idiot when it comes to brewing beers, right? I don't brew anything, but what does barrel aging do to
beer? I don't know. You brew up some trouble, Evan. I've heard, allegedly.
I brew up what?
A little bit of trouble. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's not beers.
No.
Unfortunately.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp. So what does barrel aging do to the beer that's different from, you know, the regular process?
So, if you're looking at like traditional barrel aging, is what you're getting a distillery, a bourbon. You're getting a barrel from a distillery or a vineyard that has what they've aged their whatever liquor they have or whatever wine they are in that barrel, and they're done with it. So in theory, there's a ton of whatever they did soaked into that wood and saturated into that wood. So when you get that barrel, there's going to be a little residual bit of that flavor in there, but also there's a ton of flavor still stuck in that wood. So when you barrel age it, you're taking your beer that is coming out of a stainless steel tank.
Yeah.
Which is inert.
Yeah.
And you're putting it into that bourbon barrel or port wine barrel or tequila barrel, whatever it is. And you're going to soak in some of that flavor of whatever what was in that barrel previously. But you're also, over time, your beer is going to soak up some of the flavor off of that wood that's like charred or not charred wood inside there. So like bourbon barrels, all those are charred.
Yeah.
It's like American oak that's been charred to a certain amount of toast. And you're going to get some of those flavors and aromas coming off of that. So the Burnt Knob Porter, if I did it, it would probably be just fine if I did it off this, but I just want to fool around and make it Imperial anyways.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You actually put it into the wood barrel?
So if I had the space and the time, yes.
Yeah.
Right. I would get a barrel and do it that way, but I literally don't have the square footage.
Yeah.
So I'm doing this technique with the homebrew keg and getting some bourbon wood to, or like barrel wood that I'm soaking to do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And what, like what kind of space would you need? Is it just like a dark?
Well, because you said a month, right?
Yeah.
What's the aging, like what's a good?
Like what kind of storage would it have to be in?
Typically you want like a space that's like steady temperature, like your humidity doesn't go up and down like this. You're kind of got steady temps going all the way through, and that's unfortunately that's not what my brewery is. My brewery is just hot. It goes from hot to cold. Hot. But also I just don't have the square footage.
Yeah.
Like for because a barrel takes up space and just like when I'm canning, it's literally every square foot I'm using, and it's tight.
Not extra room.
By doing it this way, I'm also helping myself out, but I'm only doing so much. Like, I can only do 30 bottles. And so that's, instead of me sitting on 150 bottles, 250 bottles, that's, like, one, it's got its pros and its cons.
Sure.
The pros, like, that, if it sits in the bottle, it's going to get better over time, typically. But I'm going to sit on it, and if it doesn't move, it doesn't move.
It doesn't
then,
move, yeah.
Then we get back to that alcohol abuse that we were talking about in college. Yeah. but with only 30, you can move 30 bottles like pretty quick, especially people are excited about it. People know about it. People know there's only so much of it. So,
yeah, the limited edition kind of helps.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you do the canning and bottling at Mountain King?
Everything's right there. Yeah.
Wow.
We bought a small little canning line, from Cass Canning Solutions. Or I think that's their name. I don't know. Too many names.
Yeah.
Out in
God, I know a lot of people in the brewing.
They're out in, I think, British Columbia. They're great. It's a tight little unit, and it does its job really well. So Neil and I, you know, canning's never fun, but that with that thing, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Well, because if anyone sees the space, like the tap house, like it's kind of a tight space, and you do have the, you know, the backyard area with the new deck. You have bunch of different things happening out there. You got barbecues happening, you got bands playing, but it's a tight, it used to be a residential house right before you guys got it, like, yeah. And you made it into a brewery, which is crazy to me that you used this residential house. You're like, let's put a brewery in it.
Yeah. Let's cut it right in half.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We can make it happen. It's insane. Like, in the thought process to me is, like, insane. But you guys literally have made it happen. And the fact that you also can in the same spot, like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, it's...
Well, if you ever need help, Evan and I can put our hairnets on and our
I'm willing to put
little
some...
blue shoe covers or whatever we got to wear.
Yeah.
You know, and come over and...
Hell yeah. I won't wear any of that, but you can come over and wear that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like to dress up, you know?
Yeah.
Dress the part, yeah.
Evan, what are you wearing?
Why are you wearing a hairnet? What's going on? No, like I sometimes I sit and like think about when Bob had me come over and like look at the property for the first time, and it literally was an Airbnb. I think it was getting rented out like the next weekend.
Yep,
and he's like, I signed the contract. We own this place. I'm just like, wow.
And
but then you look at it and it's like, and that was a crazy thing. Like meeting Bob is just like, how like his vision for it, like you could just, he had a vision for it almost immediately.
Yeah.
And it was kind of crazy to watch, like kind of watch him walk through the place and have an idea of exactly what he wanted to do. I don't think I'd ever been around someone that just had that. I was like,
did that make you more comfortable about being the brewer of the Mountain King? Like, I mean, someone that had like a vision is like, I'm going to put, you know, I don't know the terms.
I mean, I was comfortable with being a brewer just one way or the other.
Okay.
But like for Bob, yes, because I knew he had a vision, he had an idea, and he bound and determined to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's not everyone that gets stuck with someone like that. It's just like, it's fantastic. So
yeah.
No, it's been great. So but yeah, I looking back at like what the place, because I stayed there when I first moved down there, I wasn't able to move into my apartment yet, and Bob's just like, just crash there. Who cares? So,
did you put like a rolling mat down on the floor? And just,
no,
like,
it was furnished.
Oh yeah, because it was a home. Never mind. Yeah.
So he's just like, you can crash there for a couple days before you got to move in. I crashed there for like 3 or 4 days. I was like, this isn't that bad. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I've never had a shower this big. This thing's massive. This is one of the biggest showers I've ever been in. No, it was crazy. And now to see it now, what it is just, I don't think I could see it any other way.
Yeah.
But it's just, that's me being here since it demolition happened. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. You saw the birth of it. It's crazy.
Well, I think kind of to your point about, like you go on a limb a little bit to do the barrel aged, you know, or a new recipe or anything like that. But, you know, you kind of did the same thing with the brewery. I mean, it's like, It's a good, it's small, it's a good fit. It, you know, it's a, you know, Bob said this actually in the first interview, it was complimentary, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, it fits the space so well, and you're right. You look at it now and you're like, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, fits the space, fits the location.
I actually had a weird instance.
Shout out Bob for the vision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great vision. Probably about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks from now. A friend that I haven't seen in probably 5 years. I was his college roommate for a while, and he just hit me up randomly, and all of a sudden he's like, "Hey, dude, just to let you know, I'm in Wyndham." I was like, "What are you doing in my neck of the woods? Like, you live downstate, whatever." And he's like, "I'm at Mountain King." I was like, "I'm going right now." He just loved the energy of the place, because it's like, it's a close knit kind of feel there, right?
Oh yeah.
It's not a big tap house. It's not this massive, you know, you go to, you know, in Saratoga, they just put in a treehouse. It's not that kind of size. It's much more close-knit. You kind of have, like, that home feel, not to, you know, replicate that is, it literally was a home. But he loved the feeling of just, like, this. I can't believe it's brewed. You can see that through the windows, like, where the brewing happens. He's like, and then the beer goes from there into the glass that I'm drinking out of, you know, 20 feet away.
It's so like the tap room's only 45 seats, something like that. Like, so it's cozy. I've been in tap rooms where it's 400 seats. It's 700 seats.
Big.
And it's just, there was one I was in, because I lived in Germany. And so I went to, I think it was Stone Brewing, which is actually out in Cali, but they had a tap room and brewery in just outside Berlin. I think they had 750 seats, and you go in there and it's beautiful, but it's empty, and you just have this like cavernous, like almost like echo,
yeah,
that's going on around you.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone wants to be around that, or like that's not a vibe I want. I mean, there are people that might be like that, but that's not what I like. That's not what I want to feel. Like that spot in Peru I worked at. My first head brewing position. They had 250 seats for like a restaurant. If the restaurant wasn't full, you could hear everything.
Yeah.
And it's just, it doesn't make sense. I was just like, let's not have one of these rooms be dining room. Let's make that like a game room. Let's something else. You can lose 50 seats and have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's kind of nice is the tap room with only 45 seats. It's cozy no matter what. And then you turn out, you're on the deck, and then the deck is also like it's larger, but it can still be comfortable because it's probably another 40, 45 seats.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the outdoors, like the backyard, which is still getting finished out. But that's, once you're outside, and it's comfortable. Like you're just in the backyard. It is what it is. But yeah,
fresh air, open.
Yeah.
But having those two, like an outdoor porch and the inside just being kind of like tight-knit and cozy, something you can be comfortable with two people or with 30 people is, I think that's fantastic. Yeah,
I think it fits Main Street perfect. It fits the town perfect.
It does. And I love the collaboration you're doing with other partners. Like you got people from Greenville barbecuing. You know, I love that. I love that
they're
you have band.
They're fantastic.
They
the,
are.
The Little Piece Barbecue, they are awesome.
Really?
So good.
Do you recommend from them?
Man, if you go there, I'm all about the chicken wings. They smoke their wings and they flash fry them, and ooh, you know it's a good.
Okay,
you know it's you. Listen, you know it's a good chicken wing when you can do it naked, no sauce.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
100%. And then their sauce—it's all house-made sauces that they make. So they What's got it? Like Carolina Gold, or no, they call it Catskill Gold. It's a bourbon molasses, and then they have a Bama White, and then they actually. They use the porter to make a barbecue sauce for the first time. I don't think they were doing trials with it, so I don't think they've done it like on a big scale yet. But dude, they're incredible. So like, if you're going there, it's all about the chicken wings. It's so good. But the brisket is they sell out of brisket every time they're here. Like so on Saturdays when they come over, it's the brisket's gone within like 2 hours.
Do you have a line waiting for?
No lines yet.
Okay.
No lines yet, but it's like it's almost at like it's like at 2:30. All of a sudden, it's like brisket's gone.
Yep,
gone.
Yeah, so but you got to go till 4 o'clock, and you're like, sorry.
This past weekend, they did half chickens, and man, half chickens were just crushing. On point. So good.
I'm getting really hungry right now about you guys. But.
Yeah. No, yeah, those guys are incredible. And they're actually, they started selling the pastrami over to Chris and Lana at the Main Street Market.
Oh,
sick.
And the man, the Reubens that Chris and Lana do with that pastrami is so good.
I haven't gotten the Reuben. Now that's yeah. probably my next move.
I had a Reuben for lunch, not from there, but now that I know, come on now.
Man, I love me a Reuben.
Me too. Me too. At work, we used to do Reubens on Fridays. It was always a Friday tradition. We haven't done it in a while, but now that I know that, we're going to do Reubens on Friday.
I need it on the toasted marble rye. I love a marble rye.
Yeah, dude.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The textures. Yeah, I'm salivating.
Yeah, bringing me back to lunch, dude. Yeah. I already checked my Reuben box for the day. So yeah.
That's amazing. And the band, you got bands playing there too?
Yeah, so we had Alpine Drive
there for the
4th of July.
Yep.
I unfortunately wasn't around for that one. I was in Vermont with some buddies for a charity golf tournament, but great reviews on those guys.
They crush it. The Jaegers are great. They're fantastic.
Yep. So.
Yeah.
And then, we're bringing in music on a pretty regular basis, so it's been good.
Yeah, you guys are doing amazing over there, so I'm kudos to you.
And your
energy and everything.
We're pretty stoked with, the response we've had so far. At the end of the day, it's a long-term project.
100%.
You look at other breweries in the area, it's a 5-10-year project to get to where they are. So easy, yeah. I think we see where we're at now is we've taken a really great first step.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. Some of these beers, I think the porter's fantastic. I think it's right where it needs to be.
I think New York State thinks your porter's fantastic.
Yes.
But there's
the only one who might not is Dan.
Fucking Dan. But we're still going to make tweaks and keep moving forward and trying to make everything, always trying to make it better as best we can. But we also I look at it from the perspective of, we're just making that first step in a 10 to 15 year journey.
Yeah. Well, I think it's incredible to already be recognized for the work that you're doing.
Yeah. No, it's honestly, that was professionally, on a personal, it was super gratifying to get that sort of recognition, just because, 7 years ago, I was making a 5-gallon batch in a stupid little plastic pail, and it tasted like shit.
Yeah.
That
was the first one that I dumped.
Yeah.
That calculates into all of it. Yeah.
But it's a lot of grinding, and it's a lot of learning and fucking up and moving forward and trying to get better. And it was super gratifying to see that some of my peers in the industry thought it was worthy of a silver in New York State. So we're pretty stoked to actually, here in about a month's time, we're actually sending another 4 beers out for GABF, the Great American Beer Fest, out in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
And that will actually be announced the 11th, so October 11th, so Autumn Affair weekend. So unfortunately, I will not be able to go to that conference this year. So I'll be here for Autumn Affair.
Yeah.
But we're super hopeful. We're
it'll be announced that weekend though.
Yes. Yeah, so
do we need a tent? And we just wait there.
We just wait with signs and everything.
Signs if it.
If it doesn't go well, we tear it down really fast.
Super fast. But also, it's like, but we drink if you lose and we drink if you win.
Yes.
So it's a win-win.
So it's...
Yes, yes. But
there's no loss in this. I don't see where... Yeah.
Only positives.
Yeah, there's only positives.
We're sending... it won't be this batch of porter, but we'll have a fresh batch of porter we're sending. We're sending the Big Hollow IPA. We're gonna make a brand new batch of that and can it for the first time and send it. And then I'm actually, for the Wilder, speaking of collaborations.
Oh, let's go.
We're making them a honey Vienna lager. So we got a guy out of Greenville who gave us some delicious honey. It tasted really great. And we just we used it in two parts in the brewing process for a Vienna lager. Really stoked about that. And then I'm also making a IPL, which is an India Pale Lager or a Hoppy Lager or whatever you kind of want to call it. But because it's kind of it's a fluid category.
It's beer fluid.
It's basically it's beer fluid. I made a Pilsner and I dry hopped it like an IPA. And I'm trying to use it with this experimental hop that it literally smells like peach rings, like the gummy worms.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You open up a fresh bag of it and it smells like peach rings. It's kind of incredible.
That's wild.
So we're sending in those four and we got our fingers crossed because that would be I'd go through the roof.
That'd be insane.
I cannot be held responsible for my actions on the
weekend
if we win that.
I just want a clarification for anyone listening.
Like, sorry, this I can't come on your podcast anymore. I'm a little bit bigger than this. Guy's got a really big hat on. it's Owen. So with something like the prickly pear, what is there a category for something that's so unique?
Yes. So there's, and even for New York State, I think New York State was actually like 60 categories. I'd have to go back and look. I can't remember off the top of my head. But for GABF, I think it was like 122 different categories.
Those judges are going to be wasted.
Yeah. Yes. There's four categories, five or six categories for different IPAs. So Hazy IPA has three categories: Imperial, regular, session, all those. So I think for Porter, there's Coffee Porter, and then there's Porter and Robust Porter. So, and there's all sorts of subcategories. So it's important to, as the brewer, to kind of find where the beer fits the proper category, because all of a sudden the taster will go in there and be like, this is not even the right subcategory or category, and you get thrown out immediately. I spend probably a good day or two on each beer making sure I have it making sure I'm nailing the exact category it needs to be in to have its best chance. So
wow, that's I would spend more than a couple of days for me. Personally, I'd be like, I'm spending 2-3 weeks at least sipping this beer to make sure
I am terrified of making a decision right now.
Yeah.
I don't think Bob wants to pay me that much for that time wasted like that. Yeah. It's like, Owen, get back to work.
But I really need to make sure it's in the subcategory, you know?
I noticed you haven't posted anything this week. I'm busy.
I'm taste testing.
Testing. Very, very important.
So my question is, what makes a Vienna lager? I don't know what that means.
So a Vienna lager is going to be slightly darker and a little bit more caramel on the body.
Okay.
There's a Pilsner, which is extremely pale and crisp and a little bit floral. And the Vienna lager is going to be a little bit more malty.
Okay.
So basically, I'm playing with the category because I'm entering that into the honey beer category, not the Vienna lager category. Oh. So I'm trying to – I'm going for the honey beer category.
Right,
so
because a few are entries.
Yep.
Don't take my strategy.
We are listen. We are listened to by at least 50 to 60 people. So we don't want this out there.
Please do not tell the other breweries what I'm doing. Thank you.
If we know who you are. We know all of you by name.
Last year was only 50 beers in the entire country that entered honey beer. And I was just
this is your strategy.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know,
I like that a lot.
But basically I'm taking for the honey beer category, you have your base beer, and then to make it a honey beer, I'm using honey in a couple different ways to emphasize and put that flavor in there, but not overpower the baseline beer. Mm. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. I've learned a lot over this podcast.
Will they write? Well, if they throw it out, they just give you nothing.
Like, so no, you no. So
do you
that's
get a review?
That's the one thing that's actually kind of nice about some of these competitions is whatever you enter, you're gonna get notes on. So for New York State, we just threw everything at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything that we had in a can we sent there, and you know, you just gotta as a person producing it, you just have to be open to what they're saying for criticism because it is what it is.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes, you know, I saw some of the criticism or the critiques, not criticism, that came back, and you're just like, there's no fucking way you tasted that. And then I was reading one, and I sat there, and I poured like three of them, and I was trying to taste it, and I was just like, I just don't see it. And
you cannot convince me that you tasted
but
that.
But this goes back to the palate thing is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
What's a sommelier of beer? What is that?
Cicerone.
Cicerone.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and I mean,
it was in there. I just, it was
they,
nowhere
I mean,
near the front. Yeah.
They do a lot of work to get to where they need to. Because I had a buddy who tried to do it because he works for a distributor. They have to do a physical tasting and like a written essay and a written exam. He failed the written exam. So sorry, Taylor, you failed.
Sorry, bro. Taylor, career.
Drink more or less. But I don't know what'll
happen. Maybe more.
Yeah.
But they really do have to go through and like find all these things. And so it was part of my education when I went to school for it is like they sit you down and you're tasting these things to figure out off notes and things. So they take like I think for us, he bought like three racks of like Mick Ultra, and so you drink Mick Ultra that's undoctored, and then he
I was gonna make a comment. I'm not gonna make a comment. I don't know what he added to that one, but
but then he brings like these little droppers that like it's concentrate that of whatever compound that produces that flavor. And so it was
and like exaggerates it a little bit more.
Yeah. So there was like, it went everything from like banana, like oh, this is what this tastes like. And you're just like, wow, that tastes exactly like a banana. Like I just bit into a banana. To like, hey, this is what a drain tastes like. And I shit you not. It tastes like everything.
Like, this is garbage.
Everything you think a drain tastes like, yeah, you don't swallow that one. You spit that one out because it, no. So like it's that full spectrum, and so like it's something I would love to be able to do, because that's how you develop your palate is tasting these things and knowing what you're looking for.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to I can't remember like we were talking about that earlier, like what my palate's like, but. But going back to these notes and seeing what they're tasting, some of these people have really refined palates and they can just, they're super sensitive to some things. And I'm just, my tongue and my brain isn't quite there yet to like sense that. So
I mean, it's definitely way better than like what I have. I can tell you that. To me, I'm like, oh, this beer tastes good.
Yeah.
All right. You know? I'm and not like, oh, I'll
tell you right
coffee
now.
And toffee and, you know, like, oh, there's a little bit of caramel in there.
I'll tell you this right now. Ignorance is bliss.
Ah, I love it. I love it too.
Ignorance is bliss.
Honestly, that's what probably makes me enjoy some beers better than others.
Man, this was probably about like 4 years ago. I know when I'm drinking a draft beer on a dirty line, and it's just, man, ignorance is bliss, man. So like it's just all of a sudden you're just like, because I was having Yinglings, I was drinking Yinglings at home, and the boy's like, oh, let's go to the bar. I was like, all right. So we all head to a little dive bar in town, and all of a sudden we all get a Yingling. I was like, hell yeah, draft Yingling all day long. And I took one sip and I was just like,
no,
can I please have something in the bottle? but to not be like the shitty friend that's like ruining it for everyone. I'm just like, I tried to disguise it and just be like, And everyone's like, what's wrong? I said, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry. There's like,
I just prefer it out like, of a bottle.
There's,
that's
there's
all.
Like, you're such a snobby beer drinker. So I get it. I'm sorry. I was trying not to make a scene out of it. But sometimes you just know.
To that.
That's why I said ignorance is bliss. Yeah. It's so nice.
He pulled rank on him.
He did. Yeah. He was like,
he pushed it back across the table. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
I have a
they
friend,
might
Will,
not.
Who,
they may not.
My friend Will has been working in the beer industry for a long time. And it's because of him that I understand like certain notes and whatever. And he pointed out the same thing to me. It was like, this is a dirty beer.
Yeah.
It came out of the line that has probably not been cleaned in probably 2 years or whatever he said. I don't remember. And you can tell, like, taste the difference. It's massive difference once you know. Once you know, like, if you don't know, like you said, ignorance is bliss. Like, it's fine. Like, you're just drinking the beer.
Yeah.
But then, like, he's like, nope, I don't like that. And he's not like you. He's not discreet as you are. You know, he's like, nope, I hate that.
He just shouts.
Give me something else, please.
Will shouts at people. Yeah. Says, take my beer back.
But
I just can't do it. I'd be embarrassed. I just couldn't. I can't. I'm not trying to be rude. It's just like, hey, like, I'll finish this, but like, hey, can I get like a something in a bottle? Or can I get a cocktail?
Yeah,
or like a tequila neat, please. Like, you know, I just go in a different direction.
I do have to take it back. He doesn't say it in front of like everyone, but he is. He'll turn to me and go. He'll turn to me.
Will,
and like,
we love you. This was not a slight.
Will, you're a great human being. But he'll turn to me and be like, no, this is probably have a dirty beer line right now. And I'm like, how do you know? He's like, taste it, dude. How do you know? I was like, I'm a casual beer drinker.
But see, that's what I like. I don't.
You don't want that.
I don't like doing that too. Like, because if my friends are enjoying a beer, then I'm gonna leave them be. Yeah. Like you're enjoying it, great. Like, I totally respect. Like, your experience with it, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to dampen that mood.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes
I'll. Yeah, but I think you need that friend though. So. You'll know who I'm talking about, but the other night I had an open bottle of wine that I knew had been open for a little while, and I had a couple of friends over, and I said, hey, this has been open for a little bit, taste it. And one of them said, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
And the other one was like, nope, absolutely not. Yeah. Da, 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 da. And I was like, no problem. And we just opened a brand new bottle of wine, and that's what we did.
That's you.
Hands up. Yeah. That's me. Yeah. Like, I'll cook with that wine, though. I'll cook with it. I'll use it.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But like,
yeah, it doesn't go to waste.
But I'm just like, well, you're a little bit oxidized.
Yeah.
Yes, instantly. I am a snob.
And it's in the fridge with everything else. And it's like, yeah.
Everyone can be a snob about something.
Yeah.
Everyone is food, beer, wine, whatever it is. You can be a snob about it. It's fine.
We support you.
We support
Owen in your snobbery. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Honestly.
I appreciate it.
We actually brought you on here to be a therapy session. It wasn't to talk about
we
beer.
We support you in this. Yeah.
You snob.
So that's, but yeah, you're ruining beer for everyone else. No. Yeah. No, but your beers are crushing it. The two beers we had tonight, absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
Definitely worthy of a silver.
Yeah.
Not gold, though. Not gold.
Well,
I have to taste the gold to know. Yeah. But yeah. I'm assuming it's a gold in my book.
Just going off of Dan.
You know, Dan's a little snobby himself.
Hate that guy.
Yeah. 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 Real prick.
Yeah. He's a real prickly pear, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, good luck at the GABF.
GABF, yep.
Good luck at the GABF. That would be a crown to wear in Wyndham for sure.
100%. Super stoked. Really, fingers crossed. Can't wait. Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully
it's going to be amazing.
And we will have a booth at Autumn Affair. We will be ready to announce if he wins. And we're going to drink if he doesn't.
And we're going to drink if we do.
Yay.
Hey.
Either way, come and see us.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Either way, show up at Mountain King. Highs and lows.
That's right.
Both won there.
I was going to say, the beer is consistent.
Clean beer lines.
Yes. All the snobs. No snobs. No.
But Owen, thank you for coming in, man. We love this conversation. It was awesome. Congratulations
guys,
so much on the beer winning. And
and just integrating
thank you for
into
being
Wyndham.
In Wyndham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Warm welcome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
This is the Hear Hear podcast from the Crispin's Wyndham House Studios, hosted by Jesse Novak, produced by Evan Gutcha. Thank you for listening.